And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Monday, March the 7th, 2016, 12:13 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're tuned into the Now program here on WWGH Radio. Scott Spears along with you. And we were all saddened to learn of the passing of former First Lady Nancy Reagan at age 94 on Sunday. And over the next couple days here at WWGH, we are going to pay tribute to her tomorrow, Tuesday at 12:10 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to be joined by Douglas Brinkley, historian Douglas Brinkley, who wrote the Reagan Diaries. Mrs. Reagan gave Mr. Brinkley President Reagan's diaries, and he published them in the Reagan Diaries, and he had a personal relationship with Mrs. Reagan, and he will be along tomorrow, Tuesday, at 12:10 p.m. Eastern Time. And don't forget, later on in the week, at 1 p.m. on Wednesday, movie star, actor from the hit movies Beethoven and a whole lot of other things, commentator, newsman, Charles Grodin on Wednesday. So don't miss that. He's always very interesting. Always very interesting. This hour, we're going to visit with a friend who knew Mrs. Reagan publicly from a visit to the White House at Christmas time, as well as when Mrs. Reagan received her medal, along with a friend of his named Mr. Rogers a few years ago. But before we do that, before we go to our friend on the phone line here, let's go back to 2007 and hear Mrs. Reagan from CNN in an interview with Larry King.
I've gotten to know you very well. You look up private in dictionary. Yeah. Any of it too private for you?
I don't think so. No. You know, all that he said about me, that wasn't terribly private. It was personal and sweet.
Very sweet.
So sweet. It was true. We didn't like to be apart. We just didn't like it.
No, he writes repeatedly that she's gone overnight, I'm lost.
I know. And I remember one country that we went to. I don't remember what country it was, but they put us in separate bedrooms. Well, Ronnie was just having a fit. I don't know if they ever moved us or what, but we didn't like to be apart.
Ever miss him? I mean, not ever miss him. How much do you miss him?
Ronnie?
How long has it been now? I can't remember. It seems like yesterday.
I know. To you, maybe. There are people who told me that it gets much easier. Well, maybe for them, but not for me. I miss him more now than I ever did.
Nancy Reagan. Now remember, joining us via telephone to help remember this former First Lady. You know him best as Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, David Newell. David, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Speedy delivery.
David, it's always good to hear from you, and you had a couple run-ins with Nancy Reagan through your career.
Oh, yes. Run-ins is probably, it's run-ins, it's not, that sounds a little negative, and it wasn't negative, it was very positive, but I certainly can't say I knew Nancy Reagan well, but as you mentioned, I worked for many, many years with Fred Rogers, over 40 years, and on certain events, at one point in, I'd say it was about the early 90s, well, whatever the Reagans were in office, there was a Christmas party that they threw every year, the White House. No matter who was in the presidency, there was always a celebration at the White House for Christmas. And it was the quite beautiful just going to this party. And we went as entertainers of sorts. So that we were the featured entertainer for the party that year, and before the party began, we were in a little anteroom and waiting, and thought, well, okay, they'll come and get us when they're ready. And Nancy Reagan came, she came in and spent at least 20 minutes with us and talked to each one of us. There was myself, Mr. Rogers, our piano, our musician, and a couple of the neighbors, and really just went right down the line. It was like a little receiving line, and when she was speaking to you, she was right with you. I mean, she looked into your eyes, and she, there was a very much a presence to her, and that was my first meeting with Nancy Reagan, and it was certainly very brief. Then we went on and did the show, and she sat cross-legged on the floor with Santa Claus and watched the our little show. And the embassy was decorated, not the embassy, the White House, but the attendees were the families of different countries and their children and their own country's costumes. It was a lovely, lovely event. I mean, you didn't have to be Republican or Democrat. It was just a very non-denominational, so to speak, event. And she was lovely and went around and met the guests. But our little 20 minutes with her was quite lovely. That was the first meeting. Am I making sense? Is this
no? This sounds good. I was just thinking, David, because as you know, the rap on Nancy Reagan for a long time was that she was not that friendly. But you found her quite the opposite.
Yes, I did. I was, of course, she was being the perfect host, but nevertheless, she didn't have to come in and meet us and spend that much time with us. She spent about a good 20 minutes, maybe a half hour. In a room before we did our program, and Fred Rogers knew a mutual friend of theirs. Nancy Reagan had a teacher when she was very young, who also was a teacher of Fred Rogers, a teacher of young children, somebody who worked with young children, a psychologist, and Fred. Brought up the name, and Nancy remembered her fondly, and they talked about that. And I found her very warm and very friendly, and that was my most of the time. That was a longer visit that first time. Then, I would say in the maybe the. In the year 2000, shortly before Fred Rogers' death, he received the Presidential Medal of Honor. And it's a ceremony that they have in the White House, and this is from Bush, from George Bush. And he was the president then, and there were about 10 recipients of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and one was Nancy Reagan and Fred Rogers and then Willie Mays and a whole slew of very famous people, and it was quite a lovely ceremony, and Fred got a chance to meet Nancy again and spend a little time with her, and again she was quite gracious and very quiet that day. She wasn't being a hostess, she was just being a recipient, and I found her again a very, very pleasant and warm. So that is my experiences with Nancy Reagan. I cannot say anything bad about her. She was quite lovely, a lovely woman.
Well, and I think that's the interesting thing, is that after her time in the White House, when people, I know Don Regan wrote, the former chief of staff at the White House, wrote this tell-all book about her, telling all her faults, but, in later years, we really all came to love Nancy Reagan. She took care of her husband for 10 years. She came out for stem cell research. She was a very gracious and kind when she did interviews. I think the perception of Nancy changed over time, and by the time of her passing yesterday, I think she goes down as one of the most beloved first ladies.
Yeah, and one of the most active, too, I think. She had her own her own, let's see, her own interest too, I think. But I think her main interest, of course, was President Reagan. She was devoted to him, and I think that devotion was so true. I mean, you could see, and I think she had a protective. She wanted to protect her husband. And I can understand that. It's not easy being in the public eye like the Reagans were. You know, they were used to all their life. They were in the public eye. You know, first in Hollywood, then governor, and then the presidency for 8 years. So, there's one other time that I met her. I forgot about that. We made our program in Pittsburgh, WQED, the public broadcasting station. And at the time, WQED was doing a documentary on drugs, you know, to help children and families stay off of drugs. And of course, Nancy Reagan had her campaign of Just Say No, and she came in and was interviewed. And I remember afterwards, after her interview was over with, and the crew of the program, the cameraman and the lighting man and so forth, she said, "Well, I want to meet everybody." And so they just lined up, and she went down the row of people who wanted to meet her, and she spoke to each person. You know, she didn't have to do that, but that was three times I had encounters with Nancy Reagan, and each time she was a lovely, lovely person. Of course, she was an actress, and she was trained, so to speak, in meeting people, and there was a performance of sorts. But there was the first time we met her, there was something that was she was genuine. That coming into the room, meeting us, and speaking with us, and looking us straight in the eye when she would speak with each person, she'd look straight in the eye, and when she was with you for that moment or two moments of speaking, she was right with you. It wasn't just a receiving line and on to the next. So that was my very short. You know, I can't say that I'm by any means an expert on Nancy Reagan, but I had three very pleasant encounters with her over the years. Again, you know, you would ask Nancy Reagan, "Well, do you remember meeting David Newell?" Of course she wouldn't, but I remember meeting her.
When you look back at the first ladies and the presidents that you've met in your lifetime, where do you put Nancy Reagan in that group?
Oh, you mean as popularity or as being
as a public person and a personal person? How did she stack up against the others that you had met?
I think she was probably. I haven't met that many, but I met a few. She was probably the friendliest, the warmest of the. I guess I've met three first ladies that I met over the years, but you know, just as a, you know, we all have seen interviews with the first ladies. For years and years and years, and in your estimation, where would you say that you would rank her based on interviews you've seen of the various first ladies? What is your ranking?
You know, I said it last night. I did a Facebook post, and I said I think for what Nancy Reagan was and what she was able to do with the Just Say No campaign, and also what she did after being first lady with stem cell research when she broke with a lot of people who were in her party for so many years. I put her up there with Eleanor Roosevelt and Betty Ford as far as being a pioneer, because I think this stem cell research thing is going to be very important as years go on. And people need to remember that Nancy Reagan was one of the first to talk about that.
Yeah, and that is... Well, I can understand why she it was so important to her, because of Ronald Reagan's dementia in the later years. That really got her interested in stem cell research. But I'm sure she didn't make any friends with that either, because there were a lot of opponents to stem cell research. You know, but she plowed on. So. Yeah, I give her a lot of credit. She got involved in a lot that was not directly politics, but it was something that would help people. I think she was generally interested in having her own legacy too, and she has. She certainly has. But Eleanor Roosevelt, of course, I think I would put her maybe number one of all of the first ladies that I. Now, I have certainly didn't meet all, but of the stories of Eleanor Roosevelt, and she was quite something. She would have been somebody I think I would have liked to have met.
Absolutely. David, well, on that question, when you look back just as a United States citizen, in your time, where do you put Nancy Reagan as a first lady? Her position in the job and what she did, because everybody, you know, you look at presidential debates today, and everybody talks about the Reagans.
Oh, yes, that's true. It's I'm not a politician, and I don't know all the ins and outs of the policies and so forth. But just as a in popularity, I think she's up there with. Reagan and Lady Bird, and well, of course, Jackie is probably in her own plane. Kennedy, but I'd put her in the categories close to Jackie and Eleanor Roosevelt and Lady Bird for social achievements that they accomplished outside of the. Their own interests outside of doing something that was politically beneficial to the party, so to speak. But I thought that her drug campaign, and a lot of people who've criticized it for not being the right way to approach it, but nevertheless, no one was doing much about it, and a lot needs to be done about it. And she at least started, you know, she at least. Went ahead and tried to help with the drug war, so to speak, and we're still battling them, and we will for years. But at least she tried. She tried to make a dent, and I give her credit for that.
Absolutely, and I think this week when they do lay her to rest in Simi Valley, California, out there at the Reagan Library, I think there'll be a very large outpouring, because I do think. Certainly to conservatives, but I even think to many Democrats, Nancy Reagan was a very popular symbol because people forget in Ronald Reagan's last election, he won 49 of the 50 states.
Yes, I do forget. Now that you mention that, too, I forgot it was that much of a landslide. Boy, you can't do my... I wonder how many presidents have done that.
Very few.
And she was his best promoter, his best friend, and just that little clip that you played, how hard it was for them to not be around each other. And that's I believe that was not a show. That was the real thing. They really cared for each other, and I like to see that. That was a good example, I think, to set for younger people in the country too. So I think she was. It's sad, but she lived to she was 94, right?
94.
But and Well, one other thing that is Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, did a lot of interviews over the years, and I was in charge of the public relations for our program as well as doing Mr. McFeely. And one time he, Mr. Rogers, was slated to be on the Tom Snyder radio show, which was in L.A. We were doing interviews in Los Angeles. But that day that we went to the studio, Tom Snyder was sick, and the host of the show that day was Michael Reagan, who is the adopted son of Reagan, I think, and Jane Wyman at the time. That was his first wife. And he spoke fondly of his parents, and he had a radio show of his own for years and years, Michael Reagan. He might still have one, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think
but,
he does.
He spoke fondly of his stepmother, too, Nancy. And that was, so in a way, I've had some interaction with some of the Reagans over the years. I can hardly say that I knew them personally. I did not, but I had the honor of meeting Nancy Reagan several times, and it was quite pleasant each time I met her. And she was a gracious woman, and a fine representative of the United States as they travel around the world.
I certainly think that's my
2 cents, so to speak.
I understand, and I certainly think, as I've seen the video packages the last day or so, Ronald and Nancy Reagan certainly defined the 80s in the United States, I think, like nobody else.
Oh, I think you're right. You sound like you're a big fan of the Reagans, right?
Well, I think the Reagans were okay. I think for what they did and the time they were in there, I think they were okay people. But you know, I dislike very few presidents. I think that's a tough job.
Oh, my. Oh, it's the toughest job in the world, I think. Except being a talk show host, right?
That's right. Well, we're number one. That's right. Well, I tell you, David, it's always a pleasure every time we get to talk to you, and I hope one day we'll see each other again soon.
I hope so, too, and keep up the good work there in the city of Warren Harding, right?
Warren Harding, you got it.
Yeah, that's. I remember you took me down to visit the monument. Right in the center of town, right?
We did. We went down there popcorn festival time.
That's right. So I hope I get a chance to visit again. I know you've invited me several times in the past year, but I've always been so busy I couldn't make it. But I've been there twice, and I'll get there again. But I'm glad you called today. And that was my little... So many people in the world have had encounters with Nancy Reagan, and mine have all been positive, and she was I can only say my brief encounters with her over the years, she was a sweet person and a lovely woman, and I think a very strong woman too. You don't be the first lady or the president without a strong personality. So, and I'm sure that came out at times, her determination to protect her husband.
I think you're right.
So, as I said before, that's my 2 cents.
Well, David, give us one before we let you go.
Okay. Speedy delivery, Scott.
Thank you, David.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
David Newell, Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, sharing his memories of Nancy Reagan. And Terry Tackett's with us here also this afternoon. He will approach us, and maybe we'll get some of his memories of Nancy Reagan, former First Lady, thank you, of the United States of America, who left us yesterday at the age of 94. Also, if you have a memory of Nancy Reagan, give us a call, 740-383-9944. Also, don't forget, tomorrow, Douglas Brinkley, historian Douglas Brinkley, who wrote the Reagan Diaries, will be on 12:10 to 1 p.m. Charles Grodin, Wednesday, 1:10 to 2 p.m. So it's a full week.
Definitely don't miss that.
Don't miss that. Nancy Reagan.
You know, the times I remember of her speaking on TV, she was just a very eloquent lady. I mean, you know, so some of the programs she started, I mean, were just phenomenal. And I mean, I don't know. I just really don't know what else to say. She was a fantastic lady. I mean, she just.
Where do you put her in the pantheon of first ladies?
Well, I put her up probably behind Eleanor Roosevelt, and she's in the top three.
You know, I think Betty Ford is in there.
Yes, oh yes, definitely. My top three would probably be Eleanor Roosevelt, Betty Ford, and then Nancy Reagan.
Now, where
with
do you,
Lady Bird Johnson in there somewhere?
What about Hillary Clinton?
She's probably top five. Yeah.
Michelle Obama.
Top. Yeah.
Barbara Bush.
Well, she's in top 10.
not a big Barbara Bush fan.
Top 10. Top
Jacqueline 10. Kennedy.
Well, she's definitely up there. Yeah, she's. Probably 1 and 1A. I mean, you know.
Now, did Jacqueline Kennedy really do a lot for society as far as in the vein of Eleanor Roosevelt, Betty Ford, Nancy Reagan?
I think from a program standpoint, obviously she didn't create as many programs or anything like that, but I think just she had that dynamic presence about her. She just, you know, like when she walked in the room, she just kind of captured the room, so to speak.
What about a Pat Nixon?
Yeah, don't know a whole lot about her.
Or a Rosalind Carter.
Carter, yeah. Don't know a bunch about her.
Laura Bush?
My top 20.
Bess Truman.
I don't know.
Mamie Eisenhower.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Ike. I don't know.
All out of your pantheon, right. As it were.
My vast knowledge of all these first ladies. Yeah.
But Nancy Reagan always seemed to me like a lady. I mean, she took care of her husband.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that just, you know, I kind of remember more than anything. It just seems almost like, I think that clip you played or something, how they just never really wanted to be separated. That's what I kind of remember, is even during press conferences and stuff, she was right there always.
They just seemed like a very loving couple.
They sure did. Yeah, they sure did.
And it's sad that they're both gone, because to me they really did symbolize the 80s.
They sure did, yeah. But now they'll be forever in the Reagan Library, I think.
They'll be forever at the Reagan Library. Nancy and Ronald Reagan. And we've got Jimmy and Rosalind still alive. Now, who do you think will attend this service? You think Jimmy and Rosalind will be there?
I think they'll be there, sure.
What about George and Barbara?
I think Hillary and Bill Clinton will be there.
I'm sure they will. Yeah. George and Barbara?
George and Barbara will be there. Sure.
George W. and Laura?
Yeah.
And Michelle and Barack?
Sure. Yep, I think all of them will be there.
You know, I think this is a big passing, because how many people, when they're up there in these debates now, mention Ronald Reagan?
Oh, I heard you hit the nail right on the head. Every single debate I've seen it, they make at least, I don't know, a couple, three references each, you know, each time about the Reagans, you know.
Why do you think he's been a touchstone for people?
Just his I don't know, maybe like his big personality. I mean, he just, you know, of course you keep referring back to the thing with Gorbachev, and, you know, I mean, just the way he approached things, and he just, you know, he was a...
Why, when the Republicans look back, don't they look back at W. Bush? Don't they look back at Bush Sr.? Don't they look back at Eisenhower? Is Reagan the one?
Reagan seems to be the one that they make a lot of reference to, and I don't know if it was because of the era, or I don't know. I mean,
do you consider Reagan a successful president?
Yeah, I mean, I do. You know, I didn't really understand the whole gist of his Reaganomics or whatever he talked about.
I think he had good people around him.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he looked presidential.
Uh-huh. He fit the mode of a...
A president,
yeah. Yeah.
And I think Nancy understood his legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And when she came out after he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and she supported stem cell research, which was against what the Republicans were pushing at that time, I thought that was very brave.
It was, yeah, on her part, sure. Because no one else at the time, it was one of those issues that nobody else really seemed to want to tackle. You know, I mean, they wanted to try to...
Yeah. Well, George W. Bush said he wasn't going to fund it.
Yeah, he was going to... So it's just, you know, she kind of said she was kind of unprecedented in that sense that, you know, she was.
And then when Obama reversed it and said he was going to fund it,
yeah,
you know, Nancy was there with Obama.
Yep. So it's, I don't know, it's just we're losing so many people here, you know, so many famous people. It's just hard to.
Well, last week we didn't talk Bud Collins.
I know.
Go on at age 86.
A friend of this program, you know, I mean,
many times.
I wonder what George is thinking.
Oh, that's right. Bud Collins was too much fun. And every year we will hear his voice doing the Halloween poem.
Oh, that was great. That was great. Yeah.
The Spider and the Fly.
Yep. Yeah, he was a good one. I don't know, though. I mean, that's as far as a recollection goes, I just don't have a lot about, you know, I mean, presidents and first ladies and, you know, it's just...
Well, how about our next president, Mr. Trump, who's on his way? Didn't do so well over the weekend.
No.
Lost two states.
Got spanked a little bit there.
Is that what they call it in the political terms? I didn't realize that.
I'm sorry, but I mean, that's...
He got a little spanking. I didn't realize that.
His wings clipped a little bit there, yeah.
Do you think it's because they're all starting to turn on him?
It's got to be, man. I mean, this nonsense has got to come to an end pretty soon. Man.
Well, see, I never thought I'd live to see the day when, during a presidential debate, I would hear somebody refer to their... private parts.
Yeah, that reference right there was just totally unbeknownst of a president or a presidential. I mean,
how about Mitt Romney coming out and saying everybody who votes for him is a sucker?
Yeah,
and says he will not be voting for him.
Yeah, what was the other one too? I just thought of it. I can't think of it now. He was just. I don't know, it was something about Ted Cruz and him got into it again or something. I thought.
He calls him Lion Ted.
Lion Ted. Well, the one reference he made about, he said he's owned by the banks because he said that he borrowed $1 million to build his house.
Well, what about Rubio? He always calls him Little Marco.
Little Marco.
He's a lightweight. Have you ever seen such a thing in your life?
Well, I see from him a lot of personal attacks, but I really don't ever see anything that makes sense as far as from a political standpoint. I mean, I know they had the protesters there because the whole KKK thing came up where he said his earpiece, he couldn't...
His earpiece was a little loose.
Come on.
Your buddy Kasich was non-existent again.
Exactly. Why is he still in the race?
Because he's going to win Ohio.
Him and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. You know, honestly, if I was going to campaign, I don't know if I would bring up Arnold Schwarzenegger, because didn't he kind of do a poor job as governor of California?
He did.
And didn't he kind of leave in a disgrace with having an affair with his...
Sure.
Having a child?
Yeah.
With his nanny?
Out of wedlock, yeah.
Is that the guy you want family values campaigning for you?
Which Kasich has been preaching this whole...
Yeah.
It's a good...
Apparently it was kind of off on the side. This guy.
Well, I think he thinks Arnold's so big that like nobody's going to tell him that, you know, because he's...
Well, Kasich needs something.
Maybe it's his bodyguard.
Well, Kasich is wasting Ohio taxpayer money.
Like I say, enough of this nonsense, man. Get back to Ohio. Get back to governing the state and, you know.
Well, even if he wins Ohio, so what?
He doesn't have enough delegates.
He's so far behind. Yeah. How is he ever... You win one state...
Yes.
That's going to put you somewhere?
I see Ben Carson dropped out.
Ben finally got wise.
Yeah, the light bulb finally went off. And
but you know, Marco has won three states, I think. Ted Cruz, I think, has won like eight. Donald's won like 12, 13. Kasich has won nothing yet. Why is he still there?
He had a strong second place finish in New Hampshire, though.
And in Vermont.
In Vermont.
That's it.
I wonder, what if he'd have won Vermont? What would that say about Bernie Sanders?
Well, you know, Bernie has been doing pretty well, too, lately.
He seems like he's on the comeback trail a little bit.
But Hillary is just right up. They got a little touchy last night in the debate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, see, last night, I wanted, that's the one I wanted to see, and I fell asleep too quick.
Yeah, they got a little, I forget what he told her. It was something like, be quiet and let me talk or something like that. Got a little sharp elbowed last night.
Oh, Bernie.
You know,
he's making her feel the burn a little bit, huh?
Well, do you think the burn might be over, though? Do you think it's going to be Hillary?
The burn was over a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, now you're talking about like a third-degree burn.
Well, let's go to the debate last night and listen to a clip. Here you go.
All right.
Oh, we're getting a call. We'll take the call in just one moment. Caller, hold the line. We're going to listen to this clip.
Ended up saving the auto industry. Oh. I think that is a pretty big difference.
Well, if you are talking about the Wall Street bailout, where some of your friends destroyed this economy,
you know.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
Let him sprung.
If you're going to talk, tell the whole story, Senator Sanders.
Let me tell my story, you tell yours.
I will.
Your story is for voting for every disastrous trade agreement and voting for corporate America. Did I vote against the Wall Street bailout? When billionaires on Wall Street destroyed this economy, they went to Congress and they said, oh, please, we'll be good boys, bail us out. You know what I said? I said, let the billionaires themselves bail out Wall Street. Shouldn't be the middle class of this country.
Okay.
Secretary Clinton. So, wait a minute. Wait, can I finish? You'll have your turn. All right, but ultimately...
Bernie getting a little strong-handed last night at the debate. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
On Saturday Night Live, they had an interesting... You know, they always do a little parody of all the things. And it shows McClellan, I think her name is, playing Hillary. And she looks out and she says, for all those folks that had sworn they would never vote for me, how am I looking now?
Well, what is your take on the weekend that Trump only won two of the states, Ted Cruz won two, and Rubio won one?
I thought it's going along about the way it is. We're getting up in the states now that don't have a large proportion of hillbillies. I think that's going to make a difference.
Do you think...
you said Kasich didn't do much. I think he did a lot. He's campaigning in Michigan. And what he was talked about with the problems of Detroit and how they should be handled and about the horrible schools there and all, he appealed a lot to the Michigan people.
Well, I'll say this. Let's say he wins Michigan Tuesday night. Let's say he wins Ohio the next week. There's still no path for him to...
Yeah, there is. The path is the fact that it will turn in, if they can get it to turn in to a contested thing, you know Trump is done. If it becomes contested, he will never be allowed in there.
See, I don't know, because here's the thing. Here's my take on that whole contested convention thing, which, by the way, will be taking place here in Ohio, mm-hmm. up in Cleveland in August, or July, last week of July, I believe. I don't believe, because if Kasich wins Michigan and Kasich wins Ohio, he's still going to be fourth place.
Their best bet would be to Kasich as president and Rubio as vice president.
Well, but I don't think they'll go that route, because I think what they'll do is, because if Donald Trump goes into that that convention with the most delegates, not enough to clinch it, but the mm-hmm. most delegates, and they turn him down, they're not going to be able to go to the person with the least delegates. Because if they do that, then they really have turned. Then they've ticked off everybody. They've ticked off Trump. They've ticked off Cruz. They've ticked off Rubio.
Harding didn't have the most votes when he went in.
No, but I don't think he had the least either of the people.
He was down there though.
Yeah, but we're also talking about in the age of Harding, when there was really not much radio, certainly no television, certainly no internet. And I think it's different now. And I think if you deny Trump, you're going to tick off all his voters, and I don't think you can afford to tick off Rubio's voters and Cruz's voters. There's no way they're going to choose Kasich, because Kasich is dead last.
If Trump is in, that's going to piss off everyone that is not a Trumper.
I agree. I agree.
They said the Republicans' best bet for survivor would then go to third party.
Right, but
and a couple people they mentioned. One was Condoleezza Rice.
Well, now,
Condoleezza Rice would be a great candidate. Now, that person would know that they're a sacrifice.
Right, but Mitt Romney's also saying, he says, I will not run, but I will accept. I mean, if they put his name on the ballot, he said he would accept too. But here's what they can't do. Because you do have people supporting Rubio to about 150 delegates so far. You do have people supporting Cruz. He's within 100 of Donald Trump. So even if it's this never Trump movement, let's say you get to the convention and you bump Trump out. You're not going to be able to just dismiss Cruz and dismiss Rubio and go right to the bottom of the list of Kasich. And even the strategic people in the party, they're going to say, why could Kasich not win more states in the South? We've got to control the South somehow, because we've already ticked off all Donald Trump's voters, so we've lost all them. We've got to have somebody who can survive in the South. So that's either going to be Cruz or Rubio. I'm not saying that they won't bump Trump out, but Kasich, even if he wins Michigan, even if he wins Ohio, he has no chance of being nominated in a brokered convention.
What? What about those voters?
I disagree there a lot.
If you took off those voters in the South, do they become Hillary voters then?
Or? Well, Hillary's going to win the South because she's got such a large African-American population down there. Mm-hmm. And she's also going to win New York and California, which the Democrats always do. So you've got to have somebody who appeals in Ohio and Florida and Michigan and other places. The Kasich's problem is he hasn't finished out of fourth place in many places.
I think New Hampshire won him. He finished second.
He did finish second in New Hampshire and Vermont, but you can't finish second in New Hampshire and Vermont and win Ohio and Michigan and take that to the convention and say, I'm going to be your president, because you cannot bypass Rubio, because we have lanes here. We have the Trump lane, which is the insanity lane. We have the Cruz lane, which is the ultra-conservative lane. And then you have Rubio and Kasich, who are essentially going for the same audience.
Yeah.
But they're not going to bypass Rubio for Kasich, because Rubio's got quadruple the delegates that Kasich has, even if he wins Ohio and Michigan. So my point is, why doesn't Kasich get out?
Well, the two guys, Rubio and Kasich, they're both the conventional guys.
Right, but why?
Okay, at that point, the conventional people, the Bushes, all sets of the Bushes, and the others will probably tell Rubio that our best chance is for you to be vice president.
See, I think they will say Rubio for president because he's young and he will get that. They've got to carry
He looks so childish. He looks like a kid. He acts like a kid.
But he's still doing better than Kasich. I think in Ohio.
If it was just these four guys from the start, Kasich would be better. He lost a lot of votes to Christie. He lost a lot of votes to Bush.
Well, since Bush and Christie have gotten out, why can't Kasich come up at all?
Well, he doesn't get all of them.
Yeah. Right, but he's not doing well at all. And I guess the problem I have is if Kasich got out, Rubio, I think, would be doing better. And if Rubio, and here's the thing with Rubio, he was the anointed one at the last, it wasn't Kasich. Mm-hmm. And I also think Rubio does appeal to immigrants, which the Republican Party has got to appeal to. And Kasich was with Lehman Brothers. I mean, I understand we sit in Ohio, but you know, you think Hillary's not going to be all over him for that, not to mention the fact that they worked in the same
administration. Oh, I don't know if she would want to talk about big money support. She wouldn't want to bring that subject up.
Well, I don't know it's big money support. I think it's that Kasich was with Lehman Brothers when people were getting bilked out of money. I think that would be... I mean, Trump went after that early on, and then we never heard anything more about it. Do you notice how they don't even mention Kasich? Because they obviously don't feel threatened by him.
Last comment I heard about him was Donald Trump said he was going to punch him in the mouth because all he did was smile.
Well, I mean, even in the debates, you know, Donald Trump called for Rubio to get out of the race. He didn't even mention Kasich in his speech. He said, I'd like to run one-on-one with Ted Cruz, so get out, Rubio.
Little Mark.
he doesn't even acknowledge that Kasich is even in the race because he's getting 2%.
And he doesn't really want to admit that Rubio's in there either.
Well, no, but he pays attention to Rubio. Rubio grabs his attention in these debates. I think Kasich is... I just can't figure why he's still in there, because if he wants to go to a contested convention, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But let's lay it all on the table. If they go to a contested convention, I don't care who the nominee is, you can kiss it goodbye for the Republicans.
If Trump wins, you can kiss it goodbye, too.
Well, so it might be dead for the Republicans. Well, they still have a chance, though, because if Kasich would get out... Because here's been my theory since the beginning. If Kasich gets out, I do believe his votes will go to Rubio. I don't think a Kasich voter is a Trump or a Cruz voter.
That's
so
true.
So if you take Kasich, who's fourth place everywhere except Vermont and New Hampshire, and you give his votes to Rubio, if Rubio won Ohio and won Florida and won Michigan and would start finishing better in these other primaries because he had Kasich's votes, he still has time to knock Donald Trump and Cruz out of the box. But Kasich and Rubio keep splitting this vote. There has to be a time where John Kasich says, I'm not doing better than Rubio.
Well, I tell you, present polls, you know, they're all over the place. They're not real. But anyway, it shows Kasich probably winning Ohio, but it does not show Rubio winning Florida. If Rubio can't pull off Florida, he's going to look very weak. And the other guys aren't going to want him.
No, I think he'll get out if he loses Florida. If Kasich wins Ohio, but it loses Michigan tomorrow night, if Kasich loses Michigan and only wins Ohio, that'll be one win. That'll be Rubio getting out with three wins and Kasich staying in with one.
Oh, hey, can I talk a little bit about First Ladies?
Go. You got a minute and a half. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to tell you one of my early things when I was 8 years old. That was when the election was between FDR and Dewey. And FDR died, and we thought, oh, that's great. Dewey's going to be president. Well, we never heard of Truman. But one big flaw with Bess Truman, she would not allow Harry to bring a Jew to the White House.
Ah.
And you mentioned about Reagan, why he was so popular. He basically had the same message that Trump is. Carter was a disaster. We had the problems with the people lined up at the gas stations. We had hostages that as soon as he was Reagan was sworn in, the hostages were returned. He brought us from a real depth of the Carter administration. And that's why he was such a popular president. He said there is hope for us. We can do better. We can get those prisoners back. We can get the price, you know, the prices of gas and such adjusted right.
I think you're right. I think the only difference might be is that I think the Obama administration is doing better than the Bush administration. And back in the Carter day, Carter was not doing better than Ford. So I think maybe that's the difference. But we'll see how it plays out. And as always, I thank you for calling in. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to go to break here. Come back with much more on the other side. Don't you dare go away.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The voices you want to hear. From Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
What is something, because it's years now, that would have been a huge show at the time?